Good morning, everyone. So Jaku's finished with her lectures about Dogen's Vow, those wonderful lectures she's been giving for the past 4 weeks. And I'm going to go back to talking about the Genjo Koan. So we're on lecture 11 of the Genjo Koan. And I kind of want to sum up, I'll start out by reading a couple of sentences about what I consider to be the summation of today's lecture. So everybody put on your listening ears. Our temporal relative life's relationship to our and all universal life, which can only be enacted at the intersection of this moment's presencing, as our immediate experience with all of existence. Practice realization is the enactment of our understanding at the fulcrum of this intersection. For this reason, our practice must be viewed as endlessly responding to each moment's arising, meaning there is no end to effort in practice realization. So that's what the lecture today is about. That's what Dogen, this section of Genjo Koan, I believe this is a good summary of it. So I'm going to read the summary again to you and then maybe keep this in mind as we go through this. Our temporal relative life's relationship to our and all universal life can only be enacted at the intersection of this moment's presencing, which is our immediate experience with all of existence. Practice realization is the enactment of our understanding at the fulcrum of this intersection. For this reason, our practice must be viewed as endless, responding to each moment's arising, meaning there is no end to effort in practice realization. So the first sentence of this section of Genjo Koan is, a fish swims in the ocean, and no matter how far it swims, there is no end to the water. A bird flies in the sky, and no matter how far it flies, there is no end to the air. However, the fish and the bird have never left their elements. So this first part here is that he's saying we swim in our life of practice, and there is no end to that life. You never run out of practice. You never run out of reality, suchness, things just as they are, Buddha nature. So life here means the realm of the Dharma, of suchness, of practice, realization. We never run out of that. That goes on endlessly. Furthermore, you never leave this particular life that you're living. We're always living our life. It's our life. Much as sometimes we wish it were someone else's life, it's our life. So in this way, we talk about our temporal existence, our relative existence. We never leave this life that we are living. And we never leave the elements of our particularity. So both this particular life and this universal life within us, as us and all life, that we perceive as being outside of ourselves, are universally practicing together, making the world. So this particular life, your life, my life, the life of the pen, the life of the chair you're sitting in, all of this life is functioning together simultaneously. And that's the manifestation, that's the arena, if you will, of your life and practice. So you never leave that. And not only that, it's always renewing itself over and over again. There's no end to that each moment. So then Dogen says, when their activity, which the word in Japanese, daiyo, means great function. So we know here that we're not just talking about some activity that's aimless. We're talking about activity is generated, understood by that we are enacting in this moment's realization. When you are actually engaged in something that is skillful, wise, compassionate, this great function. He says, when their activity is large, their field is large. When their need is small, their field is small. Thus, each of them totally covers its full range, and each of them totally experiences its realm. So, of course, the them here is the bird and the fish, but it's also us. So he's talking about our practice. He's not actually talking about bird and fish. Although it does apply to bird and fish, he's talking to us about our practice. So this realized practice activity, Dayo, is going to expand and to contract within the context of each situation that we encounter. But we should understand that this great activity and this that he's talking about here and this field of practice, this Dharma field itself, doesn't get bigger or smaller. Reality is reality. We don't have small reality and big reality. We just have things as they are, or things, as Suzuki Roshi said, things as it is, or things as they is, they are. So this realized practice activity, Dayo, is going to expand and contract within the context of each situation that we encounter. But the Dharma field itself does not get bigger or smaller. So this practice activity is engaged on a field of practice, and that field of practice is each particular situation that you are encountering. And that response to the need of that situation. So that's interesting because it says the when their need is small, their field is small. So there's this way in which we're talking about the totality of all of this functioning together, not just our own selfish desires within the context of that particular situation. So we respond to the need of the situation. And when we respond this way, we are fully engaged, presencing and responding to our life. Because responding to our life has to include all of this, not just our own particular desires or ways of seeing things that we're caught in. Because, of course, waking up from delusion is this way that we're able to wake up from being caught by things in the past, ideas that we have, desires for the future. It's not that those things in and of themselves are bad, but that we get caught and they so color our particular situation that we're engaged in, that we are not able to be fully engaged with what's actually arising and presencing. We're not able to actually respond to our life because this life, our life, is also all of life's expression and engagement. So that's what he means when he says their activity is large, their field is large. When their need is small, their field is small. Thus, each of them totally covers its full range, and each of them totally experiences its realm. So the value, if we will, I think sometimes we say, oh, if we're going to talk about bird and fish or talk about another person, we say, oh, well, their field is small. Their need is small. They're not so important. You know, birds, they're not so important. Fish, not so important. But he said, no, that's not how it works. So the next line is, know that water is life and air is life. The bird is life and the fish is life. So now he's saying, you know, the bird is all of life. Air is all of life. All of this is functioning together, and this includes you as well. He says, life must be the bird and life must be the fish. And then he says, you can go further. So you can go further than this statement. There is practice enlightenment which encompasses limited and unlimited life. There is practice enlightenment which encompasses limited and unlimited life. So, my understanding of this is that this is our life. Know that water is life, air is life. Know that this is our life. This life that we live is whatever situation we find ourselves in. Again, I'm not trying to get out of this life. This life, in and of itself, is our practice. And This reminds me, last night we were watching an interview with Billy Collins, the poet, and he said, you know, I don't believe in God, or that something's going to happen after we die. But he said, I just imagine that were true, and you know, we go up, we're dead, and we're experiencing the afterlife. And God says, I've given you all of this, referring to this life that we live now, this life. He says, I've given you all of this, and now you want more. I think that's just so great. This morning before Zazen started, I was sitting in a chair listening to the birds outside, and I thought, yeah, well, I'm given all of this, you know, this moment of quiet, this moment of sitting here listening to nature outside the window. My life, you know, it's swell. Here it is. So this life, this practice life, is whatever situation we find ourselves in. So Dogen says, a bird is life, a fish is life, and a human being and you are the life, all of life. You are this precious, entertaining, wonderful, sometimes it sucks life. Your life, like water for the fish and air for the bird, is the element that you function in. So this is our field. And there's nothing outside of that, really, for us as human beings. We're functioning in the field of human beings, which is also the totality of all of reality functioning, but we're not birds. So we have this particularity, not just of being who you are, not just for myself being Shinshu, but the particularity of being a human being, which has its own limitations and freedoms. And so that's the field that we function in. And he says, if you are actualizing your life's Buddha nature in concert with all of life's functioning, then you're fully presencing and responding to what's happening right now for you and with you. So this is this intimacy that Dogen talks about. This is, what? You want more? This is, here it is. So fish, air, water, bird, person, activity, and or need, nothing is outside this. This is all Buddha Dharma. And again, remember he said earlier, all Buddha Dharma is not large or small, is not compared and quantified in that way. It just is. So then the last part of the sentence is, there is practice, he says, you can go further. There is practice enlightenment, which encompasses limited and unlimited life. So practice realization. We practice not to become realized, but our practice is an expression of realization. This is what Dogen calls limited and unlimited life. So unlimited and limited life specifically refers to limited life as our conventional temporal life, as limited as and universal life as Buddha's universal life, unlimited lifespan. So we say in Soto Zen, we say in Zen, we are Buddha, you are Buddha, everything is Buddha nature, everything has the nature of Buddha. So this unlimited life and limited life simultaneously is your life. Simultaneously is the life of the fish, is the life of the bird. So he says, you can go further. This further is this way, he says, there is practice realization, which includes, encompasses both your limited and unlimited life together, simultaneously functioning. So that's kind of a cool thing. I think it's very encouraging to us. Because our teaching is, even in the midst of samsara, even in the midst of our difficulties, we can go further. In the midst of our difficulties, if we can incorporate and understand and fully acknowledge the simultaneity of this limited life and unlimited life together, then we can say, as Billy Collins says, but I gave you all of this. I gave you all of this, and now you want more? So Dogen ends this section saying that practice enlightenment, the limited, unlimited life, And in some translations, which are probably more literal translations of this section, he says, are like this. So it would be, there is practice enlightenment which encompasses limited and unlimited life, and they are like this. So this is things just as they are. This is the suchness of reality, both working together. And when they both work together, relative absolute, universal particular, the inclusivity of all of this, functioning together when myriad things come forth and meet us and we meet myriad things together, then we have, you can go further. The next sentence is, now if a bird or a fish tries to reach the end of its element before moving in it, now if a bird or a fish tries to reach the end of its element, tries to reach the end of here, the element would be air or water, before actually moving in it, before actually intimately engaging that element, this bird or this fish will not find its way or place. When you find your place where you are, practice occurs, actualizing the fundamental point, which is Genjo Koan. When you find your place, practice occurs, actualizing the fundamental point. When you find your way at this moment, practice occurs, actualizing the fundamental point. So he's saying that if you think there is some end to this, and that end is some kind of enlightenment outside the context of your life, within all of life functioning, then you're going to lose your way in practice. You will be caught in this kind of roller coaster of delusion. This is the fox koan, right? Student goes to the teacher and says, you're enlightened. Does that mean you're no longer subject to causes and conditions? And the teacher says, well, no, I'm not. Bad answer. Wrong answer. This way in which we know that, are excited by, have joy in, I gave you all this. Have joy and then excited by the idea that this practice is always happening because we're always engaged with our life. We're always engaged with the totality that's arising. It's not boring. Every moment comes forward and meets us. New bird outside singing, new moment of sitting there in the chair and saying, wow, this is swell. You know, new moment of, oh, I didn't have that ache and pain yesterday and now I've got it today. New moment, practice realization, intimacy with our life, with all of life. So if you think there's some end and that end is enlightenment outside the context of your life, then you're going to lose your way in practice. You're going to be like way off in left field. You're going to be out running around looking for something that's not there. Dogen says in another fast quote, he says, you know, I think it's in Butsu Yoi Butsu, Buddha with the Buddha, but I'm not positive about this. He says, you know, you can't enter the gate. You can't enter the gate because you're already in the gate. You're already through the gate. There is no gate. It's all right here. There's nothing on the other side of the gate. It is all right here. Your life is right here in this moment. All of practice realization, all of limited, unlimited life, fully engaging. So there's no end to this practice of interbeing and responding moment after moment. There's no such thing as a separate, disengaged, enlightened you that you're going to find outside the context of all beings coming forth and meeting you, as Dogen says earlier in Genjo Koan. So our practice is an expression of realization. And for this reason, there's no end to the water, the air, or our practice life. We are not practicing to reach the end of our effort in practice. There's no retirement here. No solo outside this moment's attainment. Realization is the activity of all dharmas presencing and interbeing together, and that includes us. We're not separate from that. All those dharmas are not other. They are part of us. We are part of them. We are all making and worlding the world together. So there's no end because each moment is newly arising and asking of us, by the way, to pay attention and respond to the need of that moment. So that waking up process is that we wake up to the moment, we see the moment, we hear the moment, we respond to the moment, and we engage in this hopefully somewhat skillful response. So practice realization is all of those steps and stages, if you will, functioning simultaneously. Each one of the pieces of that includes all of the other ones simultaneously. So each moment that we interact with ourselves, with others, is a new moment. Each moment, each breath, each step. So as soon as we see this, as soon as we can act this truth, fully diving in to each intimate moment of our life, then we're practicing. Then we can live and understand Genjo Kōan. So Genjo Kōan means to actualize this koan of life. This question, what is it? And that's the question of practice. What is it? It means to fully swim, fly, or walk our life's path with all beings as it is arising for us right now in this moment. It's not somewhere else, with someone else. It is you. It is now. So our practice is wherever we are. And often we fall into that trap of thinking, you know, if I were just somewhere else, talking to someone else, if I were just at, you know, having a retreat, sitting in silence, if I just had the right teacher, if I just this, if just that, just this, just the moment, well, why should I, you know, apologize to somebody? Isn't it their fault? Now, I can't practice right now because I don't want to. I'll do that later. So this moment and this moment and this moment. And then the rest of the sentence is, he says, for the place, the way, is neither large nor small, neither yours nor others. So the whole sentence is, when you find your way at this moment, practice occurs, actualizing the fundamental point. For the place, the way, is neither large nor small, neither yours nor others. So he's saying, it's not helpful to define or quantify our situation as small or large, or mine or yours. So really what helps here in our life, I think, is to listen and respond. I think listening is important. I don't know about you, but I have a problem listening. I get caught all the time. Have you ever had that experience where you're listening to somebody and you're thinking of the response you're going to give that person before they actually finish their sentence? So this way that we actually really presence ourselves for what's happening. So it helps to listen and respond to each situation and not compare it to other situations. So sometimes it's helpful, but the only time we really want to make comparisons are the times that it's helpful to us as a way to access our wisdom and compassion. So for example, you might say, I can climb this hill in an hour because I can see it as in a mountain. So you want to go somewhere, there's a hill, you say, well, I can climb that hill in an hour, so I've got time to do that. So that's a good comparison. It's helpful to you. But if you say, oh, this is just a little hill and it's not a mountain, and this hill has no place in my life, it's too insignificant, it's not big enough, so I don't have to pay attention to it. So I would say in that case, the comparison is not helpful, because you really need to engage that little hill. And sometimes we say this about our effort in practice. We say, oh, that's a little effort, so I don't need to make that effort. It's not a mountain. I'm going to wait for the mountain to come. I'm going to wait for the tsunami before I learn to swim. I'm not sure that's a good analogy. I'm not sure you can swim in a tsunami, but anyway, you get my idea. So, you know, I'm not going to pay attention to these little things, but actually it's the little things that we really do need to pay attention to. Okay, the next line is, the place, the way, has not carried over from the past and is not merely arising now. The place, the way, has not carried over from the past and is not merely arising now. So Dogen's saying, I acknowledge the karmic repercussions and previous encounters and that causation are real. So that's why he says that they're not carried over from past or not merely arising now, but the thing is that he's saying that it's not only carried over from the past and not merely arising now. So don't think that Dogen's saying that our past has no influence or our present, that we have no future desires. But what he is saying here, which he says over and over and over again in his teaching, is that our liberation and our freedom can only happen in this particular moment. So in order for us to enact this going further, as he says, in our life, we have to be cognizant of what is being carried over from the past and not merely arising now. We have to be cognizant of the baggage, if you will, that we have, and to be liberated from that. And that liberation happens in each moment in which we respond without being trapped by these previous experiences. So we are freed to respond skillfully in the moment, even when we may not have been skillful in the past. So it's only this moment that we can be freed from a fear from perhaps a past experience or our desire for something in the present. So that's one teaching. Here's another commentarial teaching on this particular line, which is that realized action, okay, what we would say enlightened response, is not being carried over from the past, and it's not merely coming up now apropos of nothing. It doesn't arise without any connection to anything else, and yet simultaneously enlightenment is not something that we carry with us in the sense that once you've done it, the work is over. So you can decide which one you feel like is more germane to your situation. I think really when we have two kind of commentarial things like this, it's like what is helpful to us at any given time? And in the context of the totality of what he's saying here, maybe this idea about realization not carrying over is what he's talking about. And yet, at the same time, it's simultaneously true that he also teaches that the freedom is happening in this moment. So, and then the last line of this section is, accordingly, in practice enlightenment of the Buddha way, to attain one thing is to penetrate one thing. Let me see here. Yeah, accordingly, in practice enlightenment of the Buddha way, to attain one thing is to penetrate one thing. To meet one practice is to sustain one practice. Okay, so fully penetrating something. So he says, in this practice enlightenment of the Buddha way, in this activity, in our practice of what we're engaged in, he's saying, in order to do this practice, we have to attain one thing, to penetrate one thing, to meet one practice, and sustain one practice. So what does it mean, first of all, to say to fully penetrate? So fully penetrating our interbeing is to see that there's this intimate sameness of all persons, things, animals, situations, any kind of dharma, whereas from a Buddhist perspective, everything shares fundamental characteristics. And those characteristics are, they're impermanent, they're causally related, and they are not separate. No inherently existing being separation. So we all share impermanence, causal relationality, and we are not separate. Even at the same time that we are particular, we are not separate. So for realizing this one thing that he's talking about, to attain one thing is to penetrate one thing. And out of that realization of this one thing comes compassion, wisdom, and skillful response. Compassion is when we realize that we are in this interconnected relationship. That brings about empathy, not pity, but empathy. Compassion in English is compassion with this shared response, understanding that we are in this together. And causal relationality is that we are causally related. And we may not be able to see the direct causation of this relationship, but that the whole of reality itself is like a giant domino effect going on, interrelating in this holographic, if you will, way. So it, some of it appears very sequential to us, and some of it we cannot see the relationships, but it's all causally functioning together. And then, of course, no inherently existent. That's the same thing. So out of this, this no inherently existing is the kind of, is to say, the emptiness, non-duality. And usually we associate that with wisdom, the practice, a wisdom practice. And then if we talk about all the causal relationships, we can say, well, that's compassion if you want to. But really, it's the same thing. It's all of these things bring about this understanding that we are all one together. And from that comes a kind of skillful means, because we apply what we understand about the needs of the situation. As Dogen talks about earlier, he says this way that is Dayo, great function, is responding to the needs of the situation. That's the great function. It's not big or little. It's response, pure response. It's avalokiteshvara, hearing the cries of the world, and then responding. But it can't be a kind of idiot crazy running around, I don't know what to do response. It has to be a response that's appropriate to the needs of the situation. And so that's that great function. And it comes from this realization of understanding these things, impermanence, causal relationality, and non-separate, and that things are not separate. So this is this way to penetrate one thing. And so when we understand that everything essentially is this one thing, to know one thing is to know all things. When we understand that, then we start to get a way in which we can actually respond skillfully. Now, I'm a person who tends to be more intellectually inclined. So for me, my path is to actually deconstruct this, to maybe even go through this in my mind in a situation to cultivate a kind of empathy or a kind of realization of sameness. If you're a person who is more intuitive and more, and your way of dealing with understanding something is different, then you may have a different way of actually approaching this. But I think foundationally we have to understand this foundational practice in order to actually respond to it. So this knowledge of coming to this, this way in which we take it out of the head and bring it into the heart and bring it into actuality and functioning, however our path and method may be in that way, this is the way that we are able to do more. This is this way that we're able to integrate this limited and unlimited life. We can go beyond this. So, when we understand this, we have some certainty. We have a kind of roadmap or path about how to respond. And it begins to present itself to us. And we begin to be able to walk that path in each moment. So it goes beyond this intellectual understanding. We go beyond the map, but we need the map. We go beyond that and actually walk the terrain. And then finally, the last part of the sentence is, to meet one practice is to sustain one practice. So just like understanding the one thing is to understand that one situation thus opens the gateway to fully responding to each moment, and we see that understanding and interbeing with this one thing is not different than the one practice. So when he says, Accordingly, in the practice enlightenment of the Buddha way, to attain one thing is to penetrate one thing, to meet one practice is to sustain one practice. This one practice is not different from to penetrate one thing. So the practice is the manifestation and the expression of this one thing. So there is one practice. There are not two practices, not many practices. There's one practice. The penetrate practice, enlightenment, Buddha way practice, totally and completely this one thing called living our life. With all of life. That's the Buddha Dharma. So, when a practitioner understands, when we understand this one thing, we will have some way of knowing how to respond to everything, every situation skillfully. Well, at least we see the path. Sometimes it's clear to us and sometimes it's not so clear. But we keep making that effort, this effort of practice realization. The effort itself is practice realization. So we see the path sometimes dimly, perhaps, or clearly at other times, but we and all of reality are walking this path together. So, just like Billy Collins said, you know, I gave you all of this. What more could you want? So Dogen's giving us all of this. What more could we want except to make the effort to actually explore his teaching and find the truth in it? Thank you very much.